Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian is back. We are here in the flesh, and the band is back together again. Baby.
Wasn't this, expecting an Adam Cole reference.
This
one
is
minute,
it wasn't an Adam Cole reference.
Was it?
No. This is usually where we preview the show. We tell you stuff like Will Doctor's coming up at 4 o'clock. Where we tell you one need you think the Texans need to have before the season, like 10 lingering off-season NFL questions. This is what radio guys do at the beginning of the show. They give you a little bit of a tease on what to expect.
Yeah.
Some radio shows tell you, at 3:30, we're going to tell you this. At 4:30, we're going to talk about this. At 5:30, we're going to talk about this. This show's ADHD.
Yes.
I'm not saying that method's wrong. We just don't really have the capability to do that because, well, mostly me, I am extremely ADHD. And we get sidetracked, and we don't, you know, put the bow on conversations, and they have a way of continuing on. But we're not going to do any of that stuff, Joe. We're not going to tease to you that Will Doctor's coming up at 4. We're not going to tease to you what's the one need for the Texans. We're not going to tease to you what are the 10 lingering NFL offseason questions. We're not going to do that. You know why we're not going to do that? Because Ime sucks.
Yeah, he does.
Tatsuyu Ime. How do you say suck in Japanese? Because, I know how to say suck in Japanese. Tatsuyu Ime is how you say suck in Japanese. This guy is a waste of time. A waste of time, a waste of money. Joe Espada doesn't want to manage him. They have to put a team full of his friends in the bullpen to get him mentally capable of giving up 5 runs over 4 innings. Imai is suck in Japanese.
He's terrible. Su.
Imai.
That's how you say it.
You can say su. I say Imai.
he's so bad.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Where's Houston Astro, Imai or Kaz Matsui?
Imai has to be more expensive and more expectation. Like, Matsui was a good defender. You can just plug him, and they used him in bigger leverage and all that stuff and in a more, you know, high-leverage spot in the order. But you could get away with Kaz Matsui in the 9-hole playing a good defensive second base. You can't get by with Tatsuyu Imai making his $18.5 million a year that's supposed to be one of your top four starting pitchers that I'm not sure this guy can get big league hitters out consistently.
No, I mean, Matsui only had a negative war in one of his 3 seasons that he was here in Houston. He had a 1-3 war his first year. Imai, he's never hitting that thing.
No, he wouldn't hit that in Sugarland.
No, he's straight up terrible. He threw 2 pitches only. The whole game?
Well, he threw more than 2 pitches, Joe. He threw 80 pitches.
Yes. You knew what I meant.
Yeah, I did. I did know what you meant.
You knew what I meant.
But he threw 78 more than two.
Yeah.
2 type of pitches, yes.
They said throw strikes?
Yeah.
That was the game plan?
Which...
Just do you.
Joe Espada is kind of contradicting his words after the start, which I don't love that actually from Joe. And I think that Joe is probably tired of managing Imai. But before the game, you have Joe Espada sitting in the dugout, you know, at the top, you know, he puts his feet on the seat and he sits on the little railing, you know, like all the cool kids do. And Espada's like, we have no game plan for Imai. We just want him to throw strikes.
Yeah, throw strikes.
And then he does that, kind of. At least he threw more strikes than he normally does. But he also gave up the 6 runs on 5 hits and 4 innings and walked 3 and then hit a couple of more. And then after the game, Joe's like, well, you know, I thought there was opportunity for him to throw a splitter and his changeup against lefties. Joe, you told us before the game the only plan was for him to throw strikes, and now you're like, oh, splitter, changeup. He had chances to do that. You're contradicting yourself, Skip.
Is he calling his own pitches, you think?
I didn't see him messing with the pitch call.
Because, like, you would think, like, at some point, unless just before the game, hit, like they just decided, like, hey, we're only throwing fastball slider. Like that's all we're throwing for 78 pitches. We're doing nothing else because it's 80. All you, like, it was 80?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 80 pitches.
Well, they said 80 to 85. They got that part right, at least.
Yeah.
They got one thing right with the start. He is just flat out terrible.
Yeah, he said after the game that he was working with, like, the pitching coach and Vasquez, and, like, there he wanted to only throw fastball slider, and, you know, he's that's what he's comfortable with, and he threw fastball slider in Japan, and that's why the Astros signed him. So all of that. I didn't see him, like, messing around with his own pitch calm. I think Vasquez was calling the game.
It's just he's not a big league pitcher right now.
No.
He doesn't look like a minor league pitcher.
No, like, he got lit up in the minors.
He can't. It's, yeah, I guess technically it is a better strike percentage than it was in his two appearances in Sugarland, but it's still right around 50%. I think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't substantial improvement.
Like it's still just straight up. It's awful, and it started off okay, but then it unravels so quickly. I mean, he has no control. He's just,
I mean, did it
head.
Start okay? What does that mean, though? He gave it two runs in the second. He's a starting pitcher.
Yeah, but, like, honestly, like, for him, like graded on a curve, it could have been worse.
I mean, it could have been worse. You're right. But how can you grade a dude who's making $18.5 million on the curve?
No, it feels like it's a disastrous signing. There's nothing. Because, see, even like when Burrows was struggling early, there's a couple things where you're like, okay, like, there's some flashes here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see any of that with Imai.
The only flash he had was the Oakland game.
Yeah, one start. But, like, since then, nothing to make you feel like that there's a turning of the corner, like, at any point this season. I just don't see, like, I don't see a big league pitcher right now in Tatsu Imai. And I don't. Because of his feeling comfortable in America and in the big leagues and the pitch clock, like, I don't think sending him down necessarily fixes anything. Like, does it get better in Sugarland, like, where you can work on it? Like, I just don't know how you can hope for anything positive with him at this point. He's
I don't think that's really harsh. An option. I don't think sending him down is really an option. Like, part because of what you're paying him.
Sure.
16.6, repeating, of course. Partly because you don't have another starter.
Yeah, you know,
like, you're already converting guys.
Yeah.
You're already converting guys to the rotation. Like, what choice do you have? Like, I think you have to just run them out there every single start and be like, here you go. Throw them out to the Wolves. Is he going to get lit up? Yeah, probably. But I think that's what you have to do. And if he can somehow figure it out, like, great. But you can't, like, just baby him. He's making too much money. He's making too much money in for too many years, potentially, because he has player options for next year and the year after. He's still on the books for two more years after this one, should he choose to do so. He has the opportunity to opt out. That wouldn't be financially prudent based on what we've seen. Like, I don't think ERAs of 10 are going to make 16.6, repeating, of course, $1 million a year.
I don't think so.
So financially, I mean, he's going to opt in. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. Yeah, you really don't have a choice with him, though. Like, you have to just run him out there. And Joe's already said that, too. Joe was asked yesterday by the great Brian McTaggart, go Cougs, the number one Houston Astro beat reporter in the city of Houston. Javier Gonzalez is second. He just speaks Spanish. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Just some of you might not understand what he's saying.
Like me.
Some of you might not understand what he's tweeting out. All of that stuff.
Hasta donde estés?
Jose Jorge knows what he means.
Yeah, he does.
He knows
what
he's saying.
Yeah, Jose knows.
Yeah, Spada's already said, yeah, I mean, where he's going to go back out there for his next start. You don't have a choice.
No.
You don't have a choice.
No, you don't. Like sending him down, in theory, like, can kind of, to try to let him reset. But also, again, like, what does it do? What does it really accomplish? Even if you could take the money out of it. Like, does sending him down make him throw strikes? No. He can't find the strike zone.
No.
He doesn't feel comfortable throwing half his arsenal from this mound.
I don't know if he has half an arsenal. I don't think he has a splitter and a change that's professional worthy. Like, he even talked about it. He's like, yeah, I'm a fastball slider guy. This is why Major League Baseball teams didn't think he was a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
All offseason, it's like, where's Imai going to go? Where's Imai going to go? Well, people don't think he's a starter. Teams don't think he's a starter. You go look at Imai projected salaries and contracts whenever he was at the start of free agency. He didn't even make close to what people thought he was going to make. And why is that the case? Because Major League Baseball teams thought he was a two-pitch guy and probably a reliever and not a starter.
Yeah.
Which he probably will be a reliever for the Astros eventually. It just can't be right now. Like, Okay, you're moving him to the bullpen. What's your plan in the rotation? Like, I think you just have to throw him into the Wolves for three more starts until Hunter Brown comes back. Should Hunter Brown come back and let him get his lit up.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, too, is because I think that sounds great. That plan sounds good. What happens when someone else gets hurt? Then you're still stuck with him. Like can, because I don't think he also is capable of like going to the bullpen and then being back into the rotation 2 weeks later when someone else gets hurt. Like, yeah. It feels like once you make that move, he's just kind of stuck there. But it's just, it's a hard watch with him. Like, it's because like with like McCullers, there's history.
There's a little bit of admiration for what he did for the organization.
Yeah, this
rightfully
guy.
So.
This guy's just the new guy who stinks.
Yeah, like, and he needs all these like accommodations.
This contract might be worse than Abreu.
It's pretty similar.
Like it's like.
I mean, time will tell.
Yeah, time. Yes, for sure.
Time will tell.
Look, like the only optimism here is like Roky Sasaki has had a little bit of a better year this year with the Dodgers. And he had some similar issues last year where he couldn't find the strike zone with the Dodgers. They put him in the bullpen. He was nails in the World Series in the postseason.
Yeah, he was.
And this year he's come out and been better. Still not great, but it's like that's the hope is that a full season of this, he'll get comfortable and next year will be better?
No, I think that the hope is that he hates America and leaves to Japan after the end of the year. That to me is the hope. He had his trainer out with him, which his trainer's supposed to be with him, but had visa issues. So his trainer was here. They brought back a former coach that he had. They had a former coach, I guess, in the KBO. I don't know. Or not KBO. The Nippon League.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever say that right. But Nippon League. They brought back a former coach we worked with in the Nippon League. And they were all here trying to make him feel at home. They told him to stop worrying about the scouting reports, which is like, red flag.
Big time.
Like, let's not worry about where Julio Rodriguez hot zones are. Let's not worry where Randy Arozarena's hot zone is. Let's not worry about that. If you need to throw a slider because it makes you feel good, princess, just go ahead and put that slider right there on a silver platter for Randy Arozarena. The Canzone guy, the cannoli guy who hit the grand slam off of him. You see that pitch, by the way? Do you see that pitch that he threw to him? The Seattle broadcasters, because I watched the condensed game this morning. The Seattle broadcasters, Joe. The Seattle broadcasters were confused to which pitch it was. They thought it was a fastball. No, you know what it was? It was a slider that did not move. It was a batting practice fastball. This little reverse slider thing is cute until you realize it's just a backed up slider. And you know what happens to backed up sliders in the big leagues? They get hammered.
That's not a fastball.
No. That was a slider.
It's just like an 86 mile an hour fastball. It's right down the middle.
This happens sometimes in Major League Baseball where you have a righty who throws sliders where the slider just doesn't move. It just hangs in the air. It floats into the middle of the zone and it gets hammered. They're called backed up sliders. You ever heard of a cement mixer? Emphasis on the T, the cement mixer. That's what Imai throws. That's his slider. And people are like, oh, it's a backward slider. Look how adorable that thing. It's a backed up slider. That's not a good pitch. And sometimes we get movement and it gets confusing to hitters because they don't see it a whole lot. But you can't make a living with throwing that pitch half of the time. And his fastball's all right. But big league hitters, you think are going to struggle? If you're going to throw a fastball half the time, a backed up slider half the time, you think big league hitters are going to struggle against that type of pitcher?
No, and the two home runs.
Of course not.
The ball's middle on both these home runs.
His location's abysmal. And you know what? If you go read his strengths and weaknesses whenever he was a free, this isn't new. The whole, like every scouting report that you read on Imai before he came over here, will he be able to control in the bigs? Will he have enough command to get by in the bigs? He didn't have great command in the Nippon League. He had poor, like he got better as he got, you know, older and stuff and as he matured and became, you know, more of a professional. But one of the biggest weaknesses that he had in his scouting report is that he can't command.
So,
guess what's happening? He's not commanding.
So what did they see in this guy?
See, this is the million-dollar question. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, and you're going to get your like Dana defenders and you're going to get your Dana haters that say two different things, right? Your Dana defenders are going to say, well, it was a Jim Crane hire because he wanted to get out to the Pacific Rim. And look, that's probably a fair argument because what did they say as soon as they signed him?
They're
like, hey, we love you, Daikin. Hey, we're going to put scouts out in the Pacific Rim. We feel like this is a place that we need to explore. We've never done it in the past. So what, would it surprise me if it was a Jim Crane mandate? An edict? No, it wouldn't. The Dana Brown haters are going to pin it on Dana Brown and be like, this guy doesn't know ball. This guy doesn't know how to scout. Okay, so like, which side do we believe? I have no clue. I don't even care, to be honest with you, because it goes back to what we were saying yesterday. I don't care who is the, like, the face of the failure of the organization. I just know the organization has sucked for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. And do you need to point a finger at Dana? Do you need to point a finger at Crane? I don't care who you're pointing a finger at. You know what I want? Restructure. That's what I want. Whether it's Dana's gone, a new GM comes in, whether it's Crane just like, okay, hands off. This was a failure. I thought I could be fantasy general manager like Jerry Jones. I thought I could fire a World Series winning general manager and be just fine. I sign Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero, Michael Brantley. I have an offseason to play GM, or maybe he allowed Bagwell to do that. Who knows? Maybe just the trusted advisors. Who knows? But they need complete organizational restructure. And look, maybe Dana Brown has nothing to do with it. He's just a yes man. That's the face of the organization that has to answer the questions. There's a good possibility that is the case. Oh, well, there's a good possibility that the case is that Jim Crane is meddling and, like, his philosophy, like, has totally, you know, flipped from the philosophy of the golden era of Houston Astro baseball. Okay, maybe that's true. I don't really care. I want organizational restructure. That's where I'm at because I'm frustrated with the Astros.
But the problem is with the Crane one is that that's impossible.
I don't think so. I don't think it's
impossible.
Who's going to
tell him? Like, so I pulled up a story on the introductory press conference, and you're right. Dykin was there in the front row.
Oh, I remember.
That leans the Crane side of this, that you would make this spectacle of this, have your big new sponsor there front row at a press conference for a player. That's strange. Like, that's something you would have done when you signed anyone else this offseason if it wasn't Tadsy Imai. But if Crane's the one that's, you know, Abreu, Montero, Verlander, Brantley, Imai, these contracts, which a lot of them end up being very poor, that's almost like that's impossible. That's impossible to fix.
I don't think it's impossible to fix. I think it just takes a guy to put his ego aside and realize that he isn't cut out to be the meddling owner that he thought he could be. And I'd like to believe, and maybe I'm naive here, Joe. Maybe I'm naive here, junkies. I'd like to believe that Jim Crane is smart enough, because Jim Crane has had great success as an owner in Houston. He's had, I mean, you stack Jim Crane up with any other owner in Houston sports, I mean, he's won two titles. Les Alexander's the only other one that won two titles. So Jim Crane has had accolades in the city as an owner that very few have. He's one of two that the city has seen. And Jim Crane is a self-made billionaire, right? I think he's worth $1 billion. I'm not sure, but he's a self-made wealthy man. So do I believe that a smart guy like that, that has had success as an owner, that has had success in business, do I think he can look himself in the mirror and be like, you know what, let me bring back the general manager. It can be anybody. I'm not saying a specific name. Let me bring back a general manager who I have full trust in, and I'm just going to chill out at La Playa, tell Bagwell to, you know, not get into my ear and let the GM operate.
Right now. Stay in La Playa
do
right
I
now.
Think that Crane has that in him to do? I absolutely do. I absolutely believe he does.
I hope so, because he should recognize at this point. But he should have learned his lesson after Abreu. Like, if he was heavily involved in this signing, then this has to be the final one.
This is one, though, where it's business. Like, the Abreu one's like, oh, fantasy GM, we need a first baseman. Let me sign this guy. Same thing with Montero. We value pitching, blah, blah. This was more business relations.
Sure.
This was more, oh, Daikin, a Japanese company, is on the face of our, is right there on our ballpark. You can see it on top of the roof. You can see it on the side. They have the naming rights to where it's like, okay, let me appease the people that are paying us tons of money.
Totally. But couldn't you have also told them, like, hey, like, this guy stinks. Like, can we do it next year?
I mean, is Jim Crane capable of telling you a baseball player is good or bad?
I would hope so. At least in some capacity.
The track record ain't great.
Or, like, at least, like, listen to his GM and be like, hey, our GM does not like him. We're going to have to revisit this next year. We'll get some scouts over there. We'll start this process soon. It doesn't have to be this guy.
That's again, the million-dollar question that we are just not privy to. We don't know how much was Crane saying, sign this guy. We want to please Dykin. We don't know how much it was Dana Brown going to Crane and be like, hey,
yeah,
Jimbo, I know that you got Dykin on the side of the ballpark, Jimbo. What do you think about Imai? I really like Imai. You want to give him $16.666667 million a year? Oh, okay, perfect. We don't know. We have no idea. But to me, it's bigger than just an individual. It's bigger than a Dana Brown. It's bigger than a Jim Crane. It's organizational restructure. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line, 713-780-3776. Plenty to get to. We'll be on EMI for a while. Dana Brown was on the flagship today, and his pep talks are starting to I don't know the right word to describe it, annoy me a little bit.
That's fair.
Maybe just fall flat is probably the best way to say it. But we're just going to give you the transcription of what he said, because we can't play their audio. He's on the flagship. We'll get to some of the other stuff, though. I think we're at the point of the Astros season, Joe, where we have to do like the classic, you know, therapy psychiatrist thing, where you have to like say something nice about your brother. So we're going to start doing that about the Astros. We're going to start to force our way to say something nice about the Astros. We'll do that eventually. There was some rehab stuff going on yesterday. And, yeah, plenty to get to. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 and 97.9
HD2. Living in his mother's basement.
I don't know why I said the 97.9 HD2, but you get what I'm saying. YouTube, ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN975. Twitter, ESPN975. Joe is at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. 713-780-3776. What do you do with Imai? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. One thing I really hope for, though, for our favorite Japanese pitcher, is that he's using own well. Because life would be extremely miserable if he was paying even more on his property taxes than he had to, right? He's already got an inflated ERA. Why would he want inflated property taxes? This is why we all should be protesting our homes property tax. And you know, we can do it with, you don't want to do it, right? You have to go to the town hall. You have to read the law. That sounds hard. That sounds not fun. It's expensive. These adjusters are, you know, they're just more equipped to do it than you are. You're a rookie when it comes to this sort of thing. That's why you need Ownwell in your life, because Ownwell is going to do all the work for you. You know what Ownwell does professionally? They fight property taxes. I used Ownwell last year, saved me a few bucks. I'm using Ownwell again this year. I anticipate them to save me a few bucks. In fact, Ownwell tells you that new customers can expect to save on average $774 a year by signing up. Does that sound good? Of course it does. That's why you need to head to Ownwell right now. Ownwell.com. Just fill out some information. Takes you 3 minutes of time. You can do it, you know, on your little break, right? Ownwell.com. Fill out some information. They're going to be fighting for you in no time. They're going to try to reduce those property taxes in no time. They're going to email you every step along the way, and all it takes for you is 3 minutes. How much do I owe them up front? Nothing. Nothing. No upfront cost. You only pay if you save, and when you save, it is risk-free. So you need to get on this. Do not wait. The deadline to protest, May 15th for most counties, coming up fast, as you know. It's 2 days away. Once that deadline passes, you're stuck with your current tax bill for the year. To save money on your property taxes, go to ownwell.com now before the window closes. That's ownwell.com. Let them know Branham sent you when you complete your sign-up at ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
You know who used this yesterday? Is their walk out?
I do.
Do you want to venture a guess, Brian, who used the song? Which is a perfect White Boy Wednesday song, so thank you to the man.
No, I guess I didn't catch it.
This was Tatsuyu Imai's walkout song yesterday. Brian McTaggart tweeted it out. Yeah, this was
on Care Bears night.
This was Imai's walkout song. High hopes
on Care Bears.
Gave up six runs in four innings. Those high hopes they evaporated in the second.
High hopes have strikes.
He had high hopes on that two pitch mix where he couldn't control, and he has backed up sliders that turn into cement mixers.
High hopes went 86 down the middle and then 110 out.
this was his walkout song. High hopes for Imai. A couple of junkies here. Screw it. Crane needs to go get Daryl Morey.
You know, Daryl once did claim he had offers from other sports.
Oh, I believe it.
Him and Luno both have claimed that.
Well, Luno literally is managing several soccer clubs.
Yeah.
We've seen it with... Who's the dude? Isn't there a dude in Cleveland? Isn't the Cleveland general manager an NBA guy?
He's with... No, wasn't it? Terry DePodesta? Baseball. Went to the Browns, right?
That's what it is.
And then now he's with the Rockies again.
Yeah.
He's back
that's
in
what
baseball.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, baseball guy went football back to baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can see it. I not Maury to the Astros, but I can see how there's crossover between, like, you know, one sport to another when it comes to a general manager.
I wouldn't hate it.
I would hate it. I think you need to go get a good baseball GM. I don't think you need to be experimenting.
I trust Daryl to build a good infrastructure around him of baseball guys. Like he has like the analytics down.
Yeah.
And I think he could figure out how to make it work. Like if they were ever going to go outside the box.
Does he have the baseball analytics down?
I feel like he's nerdy enough to where he could figure it out.
I would think so, yeah.
Like Osmus or Maury?
Maury.
Yeah. Like that's what I mean by that's what I mean with like I wouldn't hate it cuz it's not like Osmus or Bagwell.
No, I'd rather have Maury than Osmus. I will say that. But I want like a legitimate baseball dude.
Totally agree.
Like I want a Maury baseball guy.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
David Stearns.
I would be happy with Stearns. I'd be happy with James Click back. Junkie. But also, like, again, whenever I talk about organizational restructure, it doesn't matter who they're bringing in if Jim Crane's going to, you know, play the I'm the owner card every single time.
Well, that's what I think.
Which we don't know what's going on.
That's what I think, like, for Crane to really take a step back, you'd have to bring in someone that has, like, elite level of a reputation. Like someone that's like known in the business that has a great reputation that he's like, I can fully trust this guy implicitly to do, and I'm not going to meddle with him. You know, like how it was with Luno. He gave Luno the keys and said, you do what you do. And like that's what you would need in the next GM.
I do think a lot of the sign-stealing stuff kind of messed with Crane. And Crane even talked it like at that little press conference thing that they had at spring. He's like, I'll never be blindsided again, which at the time we're like, okay, what does this really mean? And over time we realized, oh, he's going to have his hands on everything, which I think has kind of bit him in the billion-dollar butt. Emi's contract is terrible because if he's good, he'll leave for more money. If he sucks, he'll opt in and the Astros are stuck with him. I get you. I wouldn't have minded, though, of him being good and then he leaves for more money because then you get a compensation pick. So you basically, you know, you sign a pitcher for $16.6667 million a year. He pitches really well for you, so you're getting great ROI out of that. And then whenever he leaves in free agency, you slap on the qualifying offer, and if he rejects it and signs with another team, all of a sudden you get a compensation pick, which if you're not over the luxury tax, falls between the first and the second round. So actually, I think that's a better return than what this junkie believes. And I get, you know, his side of things for sure. But I would be happy to take a pitcher on a one-year deal for $16.7 million. He gives me the return of $20-25 million, maybe even better. And not obviously not in the EMI case. And then all of a sudden you turn that into a draft pick. So you get maybe a plus $10 million ROI on your 1 year, and then you flip it into a draft pick somewhere between the first and second round, I think that's a much better result than you're letting on.
It's even like you also could renegotiate if it would have gone really well.
Sure.
Like you could have found a way to keep him without letting him walk out
expensive.
The door. For sure. But like there's a way better option. It's so much like the Slowik conversation we were having it 2 years ago of like, well, what if he leaves? Well, that's a great thing. Because it would have meant he was a head coach somewhere and you had an awesome offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would much rather have, I would have been totally fine with a good player leaving because he opts out versus what the reality is of what you might have as a bad player who opts in.
Yeah, that's the side of it that's the danger, and it's looking like it's playing out right before our eyes. The Astros need to have a Japanese theme night for when Emi pitches again, even though he doesn't deserve it, but maybe he'll feel less homesick. I don't know, man. They're bringing out everybody for him. It seems like Emi would rather be anywhere else on Earth than a pitcher's mound. Like, if you asked Emi if he would rather pitch or go to crime jail... I'm not convinced he wouldn't pick crime jail. What does that mean, crime jail? Is that a different than like normal jail? What's the difference between crime jail and normal jail?
But if you go to jail, you're committing a crime. So isn't all jails a crime jail?
Yeah. Isn't that redundant at that point?
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah. I've never heard it referred to that way.
Maybe it's a specific reference to something like in a movie or something. But yeah, the crime jail is not a
thing. Yeah, I might need context on that.
Thing.
Yeah. ChatGPT doesn't recognize crime gel. Crime gel isn't a standard legal term. So crime gel. It's funny, though. It
I actually kind of like that,
though. I do, too. Dana Brown has to be out after signing this guy Ride. I don't even want to say his name. See, that's, I mean, we all think that Dana's going to get the axe. We all think that. I'm not 100% convinced it was Dana Brown's idea. Like, there's no way to know. Like, there's no way to know. But I do think that Dana Brown is in his last year as the Astros general manager. Well, I think we all agree on that.
Well, and they'll probably blame Dana anyways. Like, he'll probably be the fall guy for it.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, no doubt.
Like what we're seeing in Minnesota right now with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, he'll be the fall guy.
Like, there's the draft video of everyone celebrating J.J. McCarthy, and then now it's like, oh, no. It's this GM who we just fired. He wanted J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
You always just blame the worst thing on the GM who's going out the door. Mm-hmm. He's totally going to get the blame for this, even if he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
He's the only one that's going to be able to dispute that is him at this point.
Good news, though, is, Joe, that that Dana was on with the flagship today.
I saw.
And the Dana, oh, you saw? What do you mean you saw?
I saw not the full clips, but I saw a couple quotes.
Oh, you saw quotes?
Yeah.
I listened to it on the drive-in. I like to listen to Dana. But what's starting to tickle me is these Dana pep talks that he gives at the end of the interview. They're like, hey, you know, hope the next time we're talking is on better terms. Dana's pep talk today, Joe, because he always goes into like, hey, stick around, Astro fans. He said to the flagship today, Joe, this team will definitely turn around. I want our fans to know that this baseball season is a grind. It's a marathon, and the strong will survive and will be just fine. So this song came into my head. That was his message. It's a marathon, and the strong will survive.
Yeah,
we'll be just fine. Look at him dropping bars on the flagship.
Pushback would be,
we'll survive and be just fine.
Your organization is teams that strong, so.
This is what he said today.
Yeah.
I think Dana Brown strolls down the streets of downtown Houston, just on the sidewalks of the dike, and he's got the boombox on his shoulder, you know, like the old school boombox.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
listening to this song. This is Dana Brown walking down the streets of downtown Houston. Just outside the dike.
They'll be fine, though.
The strong will survive, and we'll be just fine. Dana's dropping bars on the flagship.
They're not going to be fine.
Astros, this is the theme of the year now.
They're going to survive.
Take down the banners outside the dike and replace it.
We will survive.
We will survive.
This song's a banger, by the way.
Yeah, I saw he also say he's not worried one bit about Imai.
He has to say that, though. Like, people are going to see that quote and be like, oh, my goodness, can you believe that Dana Brown's saying this? He doesn't know ball. What's he going to do, blast the guy?
No,
be like, this Imai's terrible. We should send him back to Japan. What are you going to do?
I think you could be a little honest. Of just...
What are you going to say?
It hasn't been as what we expected so far.
Cool. What does that do? It does nothing. People are like, oh, I want him to be more honest. For what?
I mean, it's refreshing. Is it?
It would be.
If Dana Brown said, like, it's not what we thought it would be, we hope it was better, it'd be like, why'd you sign the bump, you idiot?
Well, we're thinking that anyway.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what he says.
If they have any hope of, I can't believe I'm saying these words, if they have any hope of reviving him, like, he's so fragile, they can't voice any displeasure with him.
I think we're past that.
Joe was a little bit more, like, open about his outing.
I think when he starts getting booed, he's going to unravel even more.
He got booed a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, and booed from, like, the first pitch. I mean, like, booed as he walks into high hopes.
He comes out to high hopes.
I think he's got to change it. He can't walk out to that again.
Yeah, he needs some advice.
He can't walk out to this.
Like, we got no hope, man.
You know what he needs to do, though? He needs just to go to Dana's office and be like, you know, Imai, strong will survive. We'll be just fine. This should be his walkout song.
Just going to say that.
This should be the walkout song.
So,
Gloria Gaynor. I will survive.
If he comes out, I will survive.
Gaynor?
I might be backing on Imai.
This is what he needs to do. I can't believe Dana Brown is so funny, though. Rallying the troops. Stick with us, Astro fan. We're coming. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's play the therapy game. You have to say one nice thing about the Astros. This is where we are in the year. We have to say one nice thing, you know, about your mean brother, your mean sister, your mean husband. You got to say one nice thing about the Astros. What's that one nice thing? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP. Listener line, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junkie says chase to survive, survive the fight. He from LA says the
chase the fight.
The Astros suck. I mean, between Key's favorite baseball team and our favorite baseball team, it might be a pillow fight to stay out of the cellar of the AL West. So yeah, at least we got that in common, Keith from LA. You with the Angels, us with the Astros. It might be a pillow fight between you and us all summer. One nice thing, they will survive. Another junkie, they play inside an air-conditioned park. Although there is a certain fear-mongering reporter in the city that's blasting the team for not opening the roof more often, which is a weird, weird fight to have.
I think that's because he's running out of things that people are going to care about with the team so bad. So he's kind of shifted to the roof being
How dare the Astros not open the roof? Who cares?
Let's play a game here.
Hashtag chase the fight. He's chasing the fight of the roof being closed.
Chandelier tweeted last night. That'll be four times the roof at Globe Life Field has been open this season.
Uh-huh.
Since 2022, the Astros have opened the roof at Daikin Park for only two regular season games.
Okay.
Here's an old story.
Okay.
How many views do you think it's done on Twitter?
Probably 100,000.
37,000.
Yeah.
That's why.
It's also less humid in Dallas, though, to be honest. The Arlington humidity is better than the Houston humidity.
Yeah.
Like Arlington, you're going to get more pleasant evenings than you are in Houston, on average.
It's also a terrible ballpark to hit in, so it doesn't really matter.
Is it? It's kind of big. I did a couple of college baseball games there last year. I like that park. Like, the outside's ugly and all that stuff. Looks like a Home Depot. But, like, the inside, it's pretty cool. I mean, credit where credit, you know, is deserved. I thought it was pretty nice in the inside. Dana Brown is definitely auditioning for a defense propaganda minister position for some small country after he's done with the Astros. What's the good thing you say about the Astros? We're going to do the therapy game as long as the Astros are bad. What is something nice you can say about the Astros? I was thinking more specific based on the game, but you can take it however you want. I don't care. A junkie, at least Yordan isn't hurt yet. Yordan is one nice thing about the Astros. Zach says, not about the team, but with the new partnership, the ballpark seems cooler in temperature inside. You got one fearmonger who's trying to open the roof and have, you know, huge humidity in the city. Terrible Fing song, says a junkie about Brian's song, which, yeah, I thought was pretty bad. I agree with you, junkie. Brian's on the phone. I can say that right now. All right, you have to say something nice about the Astros, Joe.
From the game last night or overall?
I was thinking more game last night, but you could take it however you want.
Altuve extended his hit streak last night.
Oh, he's on fire.
It's a five game.
Jose Altuve's on fire. Little guy's on fire.
Yeah.
He is on fire.
That's one.
I had Seattle minus 1.5 for the second night in a row.
Nice.
I already have played it again tonight.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're going to be bad, I want to make a few bucks while they're bad.
I'm also in on Seattle tonight.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Minus 1.5. They got now. Lance McCullers is on the mound, though. So, you know how that could go. Also, Bryce Miller's pitching for the Mariners, and he hasn't pitched in a game this year. So, yeah, that doesn't even matter to me. There's actually plus money on the Seattle, minus 1.5, though, not the money.
Oh, okay.
I'm going specifically the money. I don't care about giving up the runs. The Astros get blown out on a nightly basis. I'll give up the runs to get a better payout.
No, I think that's the right. That's the right bet there.
Yeah.
With McCullers on the mound?
Which, by the way, our sweats of the day.
Yeah, what do we got today?
We're on Barcelona money line over Alavés.
Okay.
And that one's not going well. Alavés leads Barcelona.
Joe and I are finding out live, by the way.
1-0 in the 55th minute. Oh, well, it's not your money. It's my money. And then in the we're on the other La Liga match. We're on Getafe and Mallorca. We're on Getafe to win plus 130. They lead 2-0 in the 52nd.
Okay.
So one of those wins, we win money on the day.
We didn't do the Man City game today?
No, I didn't like the value there. Okay. Like Man City to win was like minus 190, and then they were giving up like 2.5 goals. It was like, eh, I don't want to mess with that.
They're up by 3.
Right, yeah. But they weren't up by 3 until 2 minutes ago, Joe.
Just saying.
I'm not giving 2 goals in soccer.
No, I understand.
And I also learned my lesson on Monday that I'm never betting an over-under on soccer.
Yeah, so what, like 0-3?
We were 0-5 that day, but we were 0-3 in the over-unders.
In the over-unders.
Yeah. Never betting over-under in soccer again. Learned my lesson. But we're trying to nickel and dime our way back from what was a disastrous start to the week. Astros used to open the roof during the seventh inning stretch for evening games. Maybe they'll bring that back, bring the nostalgia back. One positive thing about the Astros, they only have 119 games left to play this season. One nice thing about the Astros, they only have one way to go, and that's up.
Disagree.
Well, I mean, they're last in the standings, so they can only go up in the standings.
They could go down in their win projection, though.
Yeah, it depends on how you're looking at this. But, I mean, the guy literally said on the bottom right now.
When they're not technically in last.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, they're up.
Ah, like they're I guess you're right. Angels, I just pulled it up.
They're a half game up on the Angels.
They're
right
a half
now.
Game up on the Los Angeles Angels. So we had that over Key from LA is like, oh, you guys, your team's worse, Key.
Yeah.
Your team's worse than the Astros. I guess another good thing, despite losing their last 4 games in a row and only having a win percentage of 372, they're only 5 games out of the wild card.
That's so absurd.
They're only 5 out of the wild card.
How deep in the season are we going to be able to play that card?
That they're 5 back? Oh, I mean, you can play that, 5 back forever.
That they're a distance back that's worth like saying, well, it could be worse.
5 is fine.
Yeah.
You start to get to double digits, then you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Look, I mean, you're 5. If you're 5 back, whenever you get Peña, Hader, and Hunter Brown back, I think they can chase the fight.
They
can chase the fight if they get those 3 guys back, and then they're only still 5 back.
I think they could get to 3 back if they get those guys back.
I mean, that's not a bad little thing, though. It's not a bad little thing.
I mean, like, you look at the teams who are in the wild card race right now. Like, the White Sox are the last team in the playoffs right now. Like they're not a scary baseball team. The Rangers are not a scary baseball team this year. Season's not over yet.
Season's not over, guys.
It's not over.
See, that's another positive.
It's a marathon.
There you go. Keith from LA.
They will survive.
Keith from LA saying Astros are number one with his latest text to us. 713-780 ESPN HRMP. Listen on. Did you have any goods, Brian? We're doing the old psychiatrist thing. Say one nice thing about your brother.
One nice thing. They have, I like their uniforms. They have good looking uniforms.
You like the uniforms?
Yeah, I do like the uniforms. Way better than the Junction Jack era uniforms.
Yeah, you're right. It's just a weird take to have today.
I'm just saying, the one good thing Jim Crane has done is he changed the uniforms back to a more classic look, and I like it.
Two titles.
I think to Brian's point.
I said one of the things.
Yeah, is it so bad right now? That uniforms and there's nice AC in the stadium are some of the nice things you can say.
I have one more.
Okay.
I think Braden Shoemake might be a legit utility guy. I think he might be a legitimate big league utility guy. Not a starter, but I think he could be a legit utility guy. I think he could carve out a 5-6 year big league career as a utility guy.
How many positions do you think he could play?
He can play all the infield positions. Play all the infield positions. I like him more than Nick Allen.
Agreed.
So, like, hey, maybe
low bar.
Maybe don't trade Dubon for Allen and just trade for Braden Shoemake. Huh? How about that? I think he's got a chance to carve out a big league career. Not a good one, but I think he's a legitimate utility guy.
He faces off against his former college teammate tonight.
Yeah.
The Astros told me that.
Oh, Miller went to A&M?
Yeah.
Please stop betting soccer. I can't listen to Brandon butcher his half-native tongue trying to pronounce these teams. To be fair, half of my tongue is Mexican, not La Liga Spain. I don't know El Rey Spanish. I know Mexican Spanish. What are you? And I know half of it. The food at the stadium is good and the beers are cold. Positive about the Astros. We'll do this again tomorrow. Whenever the Astros lose to the Mariners tonight. Gosh. Yeah, okay. We got to do it. We got to say one nice thing about the Astros every day after they lose. because we believe in mental health.
It's going to be the most difficult part of my show prep.
We believe in mental health around here.
If they keep going like this, this is going to be a grind.
It's going to be hard to do.
Because Brian burned his jersey.
Yeah,
nice jersey on day
had
one.
To do this once.
He burned his jersey.
No, like his
not yet,
jersey.
Not yet.
Oh, I know. That's why I thought it was a weird take.
Like it's like it, now it's over. You can't use it again.
Yeah, it's like a Survivor League. I can only use it once.
Well, actually, what color jerseys did they wear last night?
They wore the whites.
The whites, so you can use it a couple more times.
Oh, okay. Okay. I could talk about each
you got possible three, you got, uniform. You got three more times you can use it.
Yeah, but the City Connects suck.
I don't hate them.
Man, I'm not a huge fan.
I like the previous ones better.
Agreed.
Eric DeBuyer says, hot take, I like the pinstripes. These uniforms are much better, but I didn't hate the pinstripes like most people. I didn't like the pinstripes.
I like the brick red that they would wear on Sundays, but the other ones are trash.
I don't even remember the brick red.
Really?
That was their... Oh, I do remember.
It was a Sunday home game.
They only use them on Sundays.
I think so.
Remember the black ones?
Yeah,
those are awful.
Yeah.
Those are terrible. Astros do have a lineup out for today, in case you're just still caring about the Astros at this time of the year. Altuve, Yordan, Isak. Okay. Walker, DeZinzo, Shoemake, Matthews, Cole, Vasquez. If I was filling out the lineup card, I'm not sure this would be the nine that I had in order, but I would have these nine. I think Cam Smith needed a day. I want to see a little bit more of DeZinzo. Like, DeZinzo has some hits and stuff. Bryce Matthews is in a weird, like, 0-for-14 slump, yeah. But he has only struck out three times. So that's kind of weird. It's like, oh, he's putting the ball in play, but he's getting out. And then I think Zach Cole's lightning in a bottle.
DeZinzo's batting fifth today? Woof. That's tough. That's so bad.
It's where you are.
I know it is, but.
It's where you are. You have the injury. You don't have Pena. You don't have Yiner. You don't have Jake Myers, who was 0-for-4 in his rehab yesterday. Played the whole game, though. You see Pena got upended?
Yeah.
Pena got wiped out on a play at second base. Guy sliding in just.
Got jacked up.
I mean,
got jacked up.
It's the throw is the fault at fault there, right?
Taking him. I thought it was
because he
bad
pulled so far
play.
Off.
I mean, you're not going to make every throw on the bag. It wasn't a good throw. You're
right. But like, it's like if it was.
It was just unfortunate more than anything.
Yeah. And then he got yanked because he got hit.
He got hit by a pitch.
But he was smiling off as he left.
Yeah. I mean, last year he got hit with a changeup that broke his rib. Where did he get hit? Do you know where he got hit?
I actually don't.
Yeah. He got hit by a changeup last year, broke his rib. No, I don't want it in the butt. I want it in the rib cage. I want him to feel it. This is exactly what we mean with we have a bad whistle.
Looks like he got hit on the like the inner forearm on his right arm.
That's mommy's wrist territory.
It is.
Let's see how big a dog he really is. Let's see how big a dog Jeremy Pena is.
I'm a dog.
I shook somebody's hand today and like almost crumbled in pain.
No.
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
I thought that you went to the doctor.
I got an injection. He told me it takes 2 weeks to like reach maximum efficiency, but I'm getting a little worried that it might not. He actually told me too. If the shot doesn't work, you're gonna need surgery. So
how long are you gonna be out for?
I'm not gonna miss a single day.
Really?
I'm a dog. I'm gonna have the operation. I'm gonna come to work that day. I might even do the show from the operating table.
Do it.
That'd be a tough turnaround.
Why would it be a tough turnaround?
To even just be groggy and aware.
I don't think it's that complex of a surgery. He told me that they just go in there a little bit and kind of clip the tendon a little, give it a little bit of breathing room.
Joe, do you believe this?
Do you have to go under?
You think I'm lying?
Yeah, you'd have to go
I
under.
I don't think I would go under.
He'd be under.
I don't think so.
If he's cutting into your arm.
He didn't tell me if I would go under or not, but my wife was like, yeah, you probably wouldn't go to bed for that. I was like, all right, whatever.
Just numb it up.
I was told, like, I do not know that for sure, but I was under the thought, based on a conversation that I had with my brilliant wife, that I would not have anesthesia.
That's the case, you could be back. But if you're going under, you're not back that day.
Yeah, but if you're not going under, schedule that thing for 8 a.m. and be at work at 3. We'll see you that day. Mommy's risk.
I can't imagine them cutting into your arm, though, and you not going out.
I mean, why not? They're just going to stick a little laser in there and clip the tendon real quick. No big deal. I could do it.
Then do it
on air.
For wrist tendon surgery, many people do not need full general anesthesia.
Okay. Credit to your wife.
I might not need full anesthesia. I might just come to the show, even if I go under. Honestly, it might be a fun show. It has to be a Friday show.
Agreed. It'd be awesome.
Couldn't do it on a Thursday, but a Friday, why the heck not?
Let's do it.
Yeah. People tell me I need to loosen up all the time.
It'll be real.
I think we should schedule that for a cash it or trash it day.
Oh, just get the takes flowing?
Yeah. Just some wild takes.
I'll bring a six-pack of beer so I can keep up with you.
Squid Chef. Squid Chef's all up in my business. So, Branham, what did you get your wife for Mother's Day? You were up texting at midnight. Why is he so up in my business? Why, Squid Chef, you don't worry about that. My wife was sound asleep whenever I sent out that tweet that you saw immediately. And then Hader had a rehab yesterday too, Joe. He scoreless inning.
Good.
I'm telling you, you get Hader back, you get Pena back, you get Hunter Brown back, we're taking over the White House.
We chase the fight.
Who is it, Howard Dean? We'll go to Iowa. We'll go to Idaho.
We'll go to Michigan.
I don't know why it's in Idaho. Michigan, Wisconsin. We're going to take over the White House.
Hey, and don't forget Nate Pearson. He was out there yesterday, too.
I saw. Pacers. Did you see what he was bumping?
101.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Old Nate Pearson bumping 101.3.
Yeah, back-to-back 1-2-3 innings.
Look at this. Let me paint a picture for you here.
Yeah.
I feel like it's important to paint an accurate portrayal of the Houston Astros season. Mm-hmm. You get Hunter Brown back.
Yeah,
Ryan.
You do.
All of a sudden, you got Hunter Brown. You got Mike Burrows. You got Nate Pearson. You got – who else you got? You got Lance.
Peter Lambert.
You got Peter Lambert. You got Kateway Tang.
Yeah.
And then you go to the bullpen. All of a sudden, you got Hader.
Brian Abreu.
You got Brian Abreu, who's
Houston,
been pitching incredibly well.
Go.
I mean, this team's not dead, guys. This team's not dead. I'm consistently pounding the other team minus 1.5 runs. But this team's not dead.
Not dead yet.
You know why?
It's a marathon.
Because they're going to survive.
They're going to survive.
We chase the fight.
It's a marathon, guys. Only the strong survive, and we'll be just fine. This team, this you just wait. I feel like I'm under anesthesia right now. All right, 713-780-3776. I'm having a fever dream. One need you think the Texans overlooked fixing. 713-780-ESPN. We'll do that later. You know what we're going to do next, though? You know what today is? Today's White Boy Wednesday.
Yeah.
We might as well have a white boy on. Will Doctor to handicap the PGA Championship. He's our favorite guy. He's our favorite. He's up here talking in my ear. Brian's talking in my ear. I can't hear myself think.
Yeah, but that was a level that I had to do.
Brian, why don't you talk in between words?
Our favorite guy.
Why does he talk between words? He's over here mid-sentence talking in our ear as we're speaking.
I said Twin Peaks.
Still, those are words in my ear.
They are words.
As I'm speaking. Will Doctor to break down the PGA Championship. He's going to handicap the PGA Championship, let you know all the bets you need to make, everything you need to know, and who is going to be lifting the Wanamaker on Sunday. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy, it's Joe, it's ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Well, as Brian tried to say, it's now my turn to tell you about the great place that is Twin Peaks. It's the best in the game. At Twin Peaks, they have your favorites on draft, and they're poured at a frosty 29 degrees. They also have rare barrel-aged whiskeys that are served just the way you want them. You know, straight, mix them up, whatever you want to do, you can get at Twin Peaks. And it's just bigger on game days at Twin Peaks. UFC, wall-to-wall TV, so you got all the playoff games. You can watch these baseball games on. But, you know, as it's sad and not fun to watch right now, at least there's other stuff to enjoy. Not just the food, the drink, but the wall-to-wall TV is great there. They have a scratch kitchen, so everything comes in clutch. From lunch to late night, you can have events there. You can just be hanging out with the boys at Twin Peaks. Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN. 97.5.